call the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order at 4:25, March 22nd, 2006. For the record, present are Representatives Crawford, Lynn, Ledoux, Guttenberg, and Rookberg. We have a quorum to do business. Today's calendar, we have Senate Bill 207, Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation Board Membership. And we have House Bill 447, Broadcasting Promoting Charitable Gaming, and confirmation hearings on the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives, Board of Psychologists, Psychological Associate Examiners, and Board of Social Worker Examiners. Today, in deference to the presence of the Majority Leader in the Senate, we'll take up Senate Bill 207. Senator Stevens, for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Stevens, Gary Stevens from Kodiak. I appreciate your hearing this bill. This bill, Senate Bill 207.
You can always change your mind now.
I know, and I, looking around, I see that that's entirely possible at a moment's notice. But with the faster I speak, maybe the more likely it'll pass.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, what this bill does is to assure that two members of the AADC, the Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation Board, the board of directors really resides, has to reside in the borough where the launch takes place. Two of them have to be there. And it also ensures that no members will be removed from the board to meet this new statutory requirement, so we'll wait until an opening becomes available to place that second person on the board. Actually, you should realize that there have been two members on the board for a number of years, I think since the beginning, and it was only recently that when there became an opening that somebody was appointed outside of Kodiak. Kodiak is very important to the AADC. We are the location of almost all the activities except for the headquarters, which is in Anchorage, but all of the activities of the organization takes place there in Kodiak. There have been several launches of rockets and several construction projects. Facility is quite complex now. It has had a pretty enormous impact on the community in several ways. First, because it does impact the recreational activities of the community. We have to close down access to beaches, access to fishermen through waters because of the rocket launch. And so it's very important that Kodiak has its say, at least has a chance to be heard when these decisions are being made. As I say, historically there have been two members, and we're trying to go back to that position where the community is well represented. It's certainly supported by the community, by the Borough Assembly, by the City of Kodiak, and by the Chamber of Commerce, and I appreciate your consideration, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens, how many members are on the board currently?
There are seven, is that right, Doug?
Yeah.
Seven members right now, and at the present, one member is from Kodiak.
The questions of Senator Gary Stevens. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you. What are the duties and responsibilities of the board?
The board makes Mr. Woodruff is here, who's a member of the board, and he can explain that. I actually served as the ex officio member of the board, representing the House of Representatives, and Representative Ledoux is currently the ex officio member. The only problem with being ex officio is you can't vote. So, but the board makes all the decisions that impact the corporation, entirely in charge of hiring and firing the director, and in charge of where the corporation is going.
Further questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, Senator.
And if, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just point out that we have yet to turn the rocket towards Fairbanks.
Well, the rockets used to come out of Fairbanks.
And I think Poker Flat still has a few rockets, but I think they're protected by Greeley now, as I understand.
What could we do to convince you to turn it towards Fairbanks?
Well, inasmuch as Representative Guttenberg had a question, I might go out of order here and ask Mr. Woodruff if he wishes to come forward and testify. And, sir, if you could identify yourself and your affiliation for the record, we'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dave Woodruff. I'm presently serving Kodiak City Council, and I'm also the one remaining member from Kodiak on AADC Board of Directors. since the beginning of this project, when Pat Ladner came to Kodiak and first said he was interested in putting a rocket facility at Kodiak. I've been involved with the project since before we drove a stake in the ground. So I've had the opportunity to serve with Mr. Ladner since the very first building was put up, and then was fortunate enough to be put on the board of directors. At that time, I believe that we were promised two positions, not realizing that, you know, we were under a state jurisdiction at that time. I thought we were a standalone corporation that the state just had some involvement of handling the money through, but I found out at a later date that we were had to live under all the state rules and regulations, and it doesn't say anything about that, having two members being allowed. But we are the host city. We are the ones that have all the responsibility and of getting those rockets to and from out to the site over city state lands, and so we believe that we should have two people on there. The fact that we've had two people from the beginning, you know, we're the ones that have to answer all the questions to the community members when things aren't to their liking, and so we would ask favorable consideration on getting this moved along and getting the second person put back on the board of directors.
Answer your question, Representative Gutberg. You want to follow up?
So, if I may, through the, so I see in here that there's a statement that nobody will be taken off, but you just said you want to put another one back on. Are there terms that elapse that somebody will go back on? Because there's different members from different aspects of the industry on this board, aren't there?
Yes, there are, and there are overlapping terms, and mm-hmm. but what we're specifically asking for is that Kodiak now and in the future have two representatives on that board, and like I say, we always have had, and because either Mr. Ladner or the governor chose not to put somebody from Kodiak back on, we didn't realize that we weren't going to get a second person until all of a sudden somebody else was appointed. So we were not happy when that happened.
Follow up on me,
please.
So if somebody on the board, let's say some of the scientists or the designation, and I where the reference in statute seems to be incorrect, but because I was looking for the membership, if one of the scientists or one of the other members on the board were some Kodiak, would that, in your opinion, would that allow that other public seat to go to anybody, to anywhere? Would that be permissible if one of those other members, a scientist or somebody in a corporation, would you still be seeking that other position as a public member to be from Kodiak?
I believe that at least two people from business or the designee that as stated in the bylaws of Alaska Aerospace, that they can find two people from the business or from schools or from military or from some area that is required to be on the board. It's a mix of a lot of people, and we've always been able to find two people, qualified people from Kodiak to fill that position. So, you know, I don't believe that we'll have any trouble with the designated seats as they come up, and it's mostly been from the business community that they've been drawing these from. And then they have somebody from the aerospace industry itself, somebody from the governor's office, a lot of oversight on that board of directors. And we do make commanding decisions on how the money is spent that's coming in from the different revenue sources in Washington.
Representative Gutmer.
The relationship between the board and the community, you're on the city council, is that what it is?
I'm also on assembly? The city council.
Okay. Is there a subcommittee of the city council that sits and monitors the board's meetings besides the members to see what's happening and responds back to the city, to the council and the public?
We have on a quarterly basis, AADC sends Martha Schoenthal to the community, to both borough, mostly to the borough, but also sends minutes of the meetings and comes to the community on a quarterly basis and explains what's happening and what our future launches are and what everything that's going on is brought into that community, if not by myself or the last board person. Somebody from AADC is keeping that community apprised on a quarterly basis of what's happening.
Further questions of Mr. Woodruff? Mr. Woodruff, I have a question along the lines of Representative Guttenberg. Is that it seems to me from the testimony so far that there seems to be a benefit for liaison between the board members and the community. And your testimony is that the requirements in the statute currently of having somebody with a high level of experience in the private business sector specializing in finance, economic, or marketing is not an impediment to making sure that there's people from the Kodiak area that would be qualified to sit on the board. Do you think there's any necessity of modifying that to like include a government sector person that could provide liaison or something? And so you could, I'm a private sector business person, but I understand the need to have that liaison between formal governmental entities and a quasi-public corporation such as the AADC. Do you have any opinion on that?
Mr. Chairman, I believe, like you, I'm from the private sector, and we have had no trouble from the private sector or from government being able to get our point across to AADC. Serving with several hats on as city councilman. We're also, if the borough has any problem with anything that's happening, they've never hesitated to not call and convey that message so it can get back to AADC. And through my urging, we now have quarterly communications because we have quarterly meetings. And as soon as those minutes are written up and Martha can come to Kodiak, she usually meets with the borough assembly and takes any problems that they might have and relays what's happening. At Alaska Aerospace, she keeps us plenty informed of what's going on.
Very good. Further questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Barbara Williams, ma'am. Thank you very much. And if you could identify yourself and your affiliation for the record.
Yes, thank you. My name is Barbara Williams, and I'm representing the Kodiak Island Borough, and I'm a member of the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly. I would like to reinforce what Mr. Woodruff just told you about Martha Schoenthal. She's Vice President of Business Operations for AADC, and she has been to Kodiak two or three times in the last year. Her presence has been vital to the community. We would like to see this continue. She's very articulate and helps our community understand the future goals of the Aerospace Corporation and their launches. It's been very helpful to have her appear before us. The borough would also like to see two people from Kodiak be on the board, and mainly this is to maintain a continuous flow of current and accurate information rather than having false rumors and innuendos apply. This has been rampant in Kodiak and made for some very interesting assembly meetings, but it wasn't always based in fact. So I also think that two people would be very helpful to us. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Questions, Mrs. Williams?
You are all invited to the seafood reception at 5.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, Ms. Williams, I guess I'd ask you.
Yes, sir.
It seems to me as if there's almost been a, because of the nature of the size of the population you have and the public spiritus you have some almost incidental cross-fertilization between, like, say, the city council and the borough assembly and this board. But nothing formal, even in the committee substitute we have or the bill we have, requires that. Do you think that would be an improvement if we had some mandate of, let's say, one member was a member of a local governmental body as well as meeting the other requirements? Or?
Well, that's an interesting question. My personal opinion is I think it would be helpful because we are the people that hear the unhappiness of the community should there be any. from that perspective, it would be useful. However, people in the private sector, I think, could serve equally as well, especially if they had the expertise required to understand the problems people might be bringing. Someone with aerospace background or military background might be more effective, but we're going to hear from the people if they're unhappy anyway.
Right. Good. Well, thank you. No further questions. Thank you very much. Yeah. Representative Lim, were you an astronaut or a rocket here or something?
I was not the monkey that went into orbit.
Oh, okay. Let's get that straight.
They didn't have a big enough rocket.
Next, we'd like to hear from Cecil Rainey, is it? Sir, if you could identify yourself and correct my pronunciation for the record, sir.
Hello, I'm Cecil Rainey. I'm with the Kodiak Borough Assembly also. And I just, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to, and members of the committee, I'd just like to echo what you've already heard here from the other assembly member. Communications and between the AADC and the rocket launch people and the populace of Kodiak went through some rocky stages. And it was just a matter of communications. And I'd just like to say in the last year, due to the effort of the people that we have on the board, we're getting a lot better understanding of what the people are doing out there. They've had open houses. People have been able to go out and see the facility and understand what they're trying to do out there. And the quarterly reports that they send down to the Borough Assembly has been very helpful. And so I think we really would support having two members from Kodiak on that board. Thank you.
Very good. Questions of Mr. Rainey? Seeing none, thank you very much. Is there anybody online, Josh? I don't believe there is. So does anybody else wish to testify on Sub-Bill 207? Representative Stevens, do you want to come back up here?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Stevens.
Senator Stevens. No, I
You're
actually...
You're promoting him.
No, I am. I had the pleasure of serving with the senator while he was a member of the House, so it's a
Me too.
Matter of habit.
For a week.
Sorry. Sorry for the promotion. Senator, you know I have this penchant for tinkering, so I don't know. Is there any merit to what I was suggesting about expanding the qualifications for the... public members of the board?
Mr. Chairman, there's always merit to everything you say. I've noticed that over the years. I'm not sure that you need to identify one of the members of the board as being from the City Council or the Borough Assembly. You know, certainly there is input and relationship between the Assembly and primarily the Assembly and the board. You know, as we were talking here, Mr. Chairman, I was realizing that something I really failed to say is the wisdom of having a couple members from the community on the board to solve problems before they happen, and that's really what this is all about. As Barbara mentioned earlier, you know, the little problems that came up, the rumors, the lack of sensitivity to fishermen needing to get to their areas where they're fishing, the lack of sensitivity to people who just want to get down to the beach where they always picnic or get to an area where they would hunt for fossils. You know, having two people from the community on this board will make it more sensitive, and that has been the case in the past. So I think it's just returning to a wiser use of membership than we used to be before, I think. So to answer your question, it seems to me that two members of the community filling that capacity business is just fine, has worked perfectly.
Well, never let it be said that I suggest that we should replace some private sector individual with somebody from government. Unless Representative Gutenberg.
Oh, you.
I don't know if Representative Ledoux cared to chime in on anything or brevity is always a wonderful thing.
I think this is an excellent bill. There's been some friction between AADC and much of the community, and I think that having two Kodiak people on the board will help both the Kodiak community and AADC, in that, as Senator Stevens says, it can stop a problem before it becomes a huge problem. So I like this bill.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you. Senator, on line 9 of the bill, it defines, well, it says high level of experience in the private sector. Has anybody sought to define what that means? What is the qualification for a high level?
Well, I think all it says is that people could be denied if they don't have that level of expertise. But I don't know there's a definition of it. We want to make sure that people who are appointed have an understanding and ability to deal with issues that they were facing. This, I would guess one thing I should say that. Realize that this is a statewide board. It's a very important statewide board, and it's particularly important to Kodiak, but it has a statewide status, really.
Further questions?
Yeah.
Representative Guttenberg.
And the discussion on having on a statewide board having designees from a geographic community, and the dialogue about some of the positions now, as designated, isn't that troubling on a statewide perspective?
Well, it might be through the chair. Might be if this were everything were not being done in one community. All of the activities of the rocket launch occur on Kodiak. All of the impact is on the communities of Kodiak. And I don't know what I would refer this to. In Fairbanks, some agency that everything occurs there. You'd want to make sure that you had representation from Fairbanks on that agency, whatever that board, whatever it might be. I hesitate to say the university, but there's always been well represented. Fairbanks well represented on the university board, and that's good.
Platts under the airspace.
No, not at all.
No,
there's no connection at all.
Further discussion. We'll close public testimony on Senate Bill 207. What's the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the CS for Senate Bill 207, version L, with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Yes. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Next, we'll take up the confirmation hearings. If you'll refer to the packets or resumes. Last week, the committee staff provided copies to the membership for the application resumes for the appointment by the administration. Procedure is to review these names and see if there's any objections to forwarding the membership or the committee reports with the individual signatures. Just to remind the committee that their signatures on the report does not reflect the intent of any member of the committee to vote for or against these individuals during any further sessions for the purpose of confirmation. Therefore, we have before us the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives, Ms. Mila Melinda A. Cosgrove Juno. Is there any objections to moving that forward? Seeing none, so ordered. Next, we have the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners, Dr. Lauren L. Bradbury Bethel. Are there any objections to forwarding that name? Seeing none, so ordered. The Board of Social Work Examiners, Ms. Gail LaRosa Henderson, MSW. Are there any objections to forwarding that name? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll take a brief at ease.
Reconvene at 4:52 p.m. and we have House Bill 447. We're going to bring back before us. This is Chairman Anderson back. Appreciate Representative Cott and the family here running the committee without me. Broadcasting, promoting charitable gaming. Craig is here, and I know that you've been working on some revisions, and there may be some amendments forthcoming from the committee. So, Craig, why don't you state your name and tell us, give us an update.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Craig Johnson. I am staff to Lisa McGuire. We have been doing quite a bit of work on this bill, some of it not so behind the scenes, but other some of it. I think what we have is a bill that levels the playing field between people with the legitimate need to advertise, yet while keeping certain things out. And I think with the amendments that we have coming for us, we're going to go a long way into solving some of the potential problems. So, with that, unless someone needs to be updated a little bit on more what the bill is.
Any other questions for Mr. Johnson, representing the bill sponsor? Seeing, hearing none, we'll go to amendment. Looks like it's going to be amendment number one, offered by Representative Lynn, version A.1, and that's before you now.
Okay, and I move amendment number one.
Okay. I'll object for discussion purposes.
Mr. Chairman, it was last year, year before, we voted to assist the, I believe it was the Elks Club at the Alaska State Fair. They have the so-called rat race, actually a gerbil, and I think most all of us voted for that, both in committee and on the floor. And been very successful, very good activity. Have no problem with that at all. And I was amazed after that to find a so-called rat racing, actually gerbil racing thing, being promoted on television, a certain commercial establishment, which is not what I believe we had in mind. And so to limit what I think we really intended to keep the Alaska State Fair, I propose this this amendment. And
And so, Representative Lynn, for the record, so what you're targeting is we had the rat race, which is a gerbil. It was a fair. Representative Stoltz passed a bill that legalized that because there's a question in law that it couldn't be statutorily done. And it
that's
was,
correct.
And then suddenly there's advertisements, Tudor Bingo, rat race, and you're saying that wasn't the intent.
That was not the intent. And this bill appears to be an excellent vehicle to do that without having to go through a whole legislative process with a separate bill.
Okay. I withdraw my objection. Is there any other objection? Seeing, hearing none, Amendment 1 passes. We have, it looks like, you want conceptual amendment or a regular amendment?
I think I'll go with the conceptual amendment first.
Representative Crawford moves conceptual amendment number 2.
Which one? Object for purpose of discussion.
Okay.
This one.
It says before each use of the word raffle or lottery. You can see it. It's labeled conceptual amendment. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, it just clarifies it and makes sure that we know that it's for charitable uses only, and it tightens up both the title and it makes it clear in the bill that this is for charitable lotteries or raffles. And if at any other time we change the law to expand it, it will keep the broadcasting to charitable lotteries and raffles.
Representative Rookberg, do you withdraw your objection?
I just want to go on the record, Mr. Chairman, saying I'm going to be supporting the amendment based on the reference to 0515690 subsection 38, which defines raffle and lottery to mean the selling of rights to participate in the awarding of prizes in the game of chance conducted by the drawing of prizes by lot. It doesn't create a lottery, so.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Roper.
So I'll remove my objection.
Okay, but then we still have a comment from Representative Ledoux and then Mr. Johnson. Representative Ledoux?
No, I was just going to ask Mr. Johnson what the sponsor thought of.
Mr. Johnson, what's your thought on Amendment number 2, conceptual?
There's not a real problem with it. I think all raffles and lotteries in this state are charitable, so. You know, you can't have one that's not.
Okay.
So, you know, I think it's just if it helps the representative to clarify, we certainly don't have a problem with it.
Okay, with the objection removed and seeing no other objection, conceptual amendment number 2, which actually isn't conceptual, it's amendment number 2 passes. Representative Crawford, are you then going to move amendment 3, which is the one that starts page 1, line 5?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's moved. I'll object for discussion purposes.
Only discussion.
Just so you can explain it, my friend.
Expound.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Guttenberg had a question.
Yeah, Representative Guttenberg.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, you all know my biases here, and I don't want to expand gambling in the state, whether it's charitable gaming or non-charitable gaming. When this bill was brought in, it was put forward as, well, if the Girl Scouts wanted to advertise their cookies or other charitable causes wanted to advertise their fundraisers. They've wanted a way to be able to do that. I believe that public service announcements are the way to do that. I don't want to see us go to for-profit advertising, because the only reason why somebody would pay for an ad to advertise any sort of raffle or lottery is to get more people in it, to get more money into it.
And I'll help you articulate what you're saying. So what you're saying is, if there was an ad that was not a PSA, then you could have someone, let's say a wealthy company, for let's say pull tab, a pull tab outlet, say, come on down, buy pull tabs, you could win money, and ultimately a percentage of the money that you pay for the pull tab will go to charity. But your point is that just instills people to gamble, because it is gambling, and they could put down $1,000 and lose it all, and that's where the tragedy comes in that you're concerned about, and you're saying, I don't want someone, especially a wealthy corporation, to come in and buy ads that are running 20,000 times a day. You'd rather have it a PSA, say, hey, if you come down and have base it on this, helps the Fraternal Order of the Troopers or the Girl Scouts, and you want it specifically. And then I think that the background behind your Amendment 3 is also, if ever in the future someone tries to push legalized gambling, and if that were to pass, paying for commercials on the air, they would have to amend the statutes. There wouldn't be a loophole. That would be another legislature, and they would have to go through the whole committee process.
You said
okay, then I remove my objection.
Please.
Well, I had a question.
Please.
Okay, representative.
Well, I just wondered, I thought of a similar type thing myself earlier, but I wondered, newspapers are already doing these ads, and people had to pay money to get the ad in the newspaper. Is this effective when newspapers can still do it? What news media can do it, but broadcasting media cannot. How do you address that concern? I share the same concerns you do as far as expanding any kind of gambling.
Mr. Chairman?
Yep, go ahead.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry.
If I haven't noticed the newspaper ads, I understand that they may be at this point able to do so, but I haven't seen the newspaper ads myself. They may be out there. What I do know is that this says broadcasting includes television, radio, and satellite, cable, teletype, fax, and distribution methods. It's pretty broad. I don't want to expand gambling. If it's illegal now, I believe we can continue it to be illegal, and I think that this is a way to continue it.
Mr. Chairman,
I was kind of setting that up for then you to respond. Okay. I know that everyone was shocked, like, whoa, don't endorse the amendment. The point of the broadcasters to come here today and to listen, I think, is that there are opportunities to assist charities through advertisements, but to do this for free, if every single charity that receives money from full dev venues did a PSA, I think the broadcasters would go out of business because they wouldn't be able to afford that. So isn't that the fear in response?
Yeah, there's a couple things here. I want to try to address them somewhat in order. First of all, we're not doing anything to expand gambling in this bill.
Agreed.
Secondly, I think that if you were to say only PSAs are possible on broadcast, I think it would have the negative effect. I think it would have just the opposite effect that you're saying. It would take people like that can now advertise, that are getting PSAs, that are being provided by the state. All of a sudden now all of these other operators come in and say, well, we want it too. I think the result would be that you would have no PSAs for anyone, because that is the purview of the station to do. And they would say, no, we can do it for a half dozen, but we can't do it for every nonprofit that has a charitable game. So I think you'd have a negative effect, and you would see more of a repercussion by limiting that than you would any other. Secondly, I don't think that and we do have Jeff Prather with us, but I don't think we're talking pool tabs and bingo here. I think
Chairman.
Representative Crawford, in response.
Mr. Chairman, I never said that it was pull tabs and bingo as being part of that. That was your characterization.
And I was addressing I was not addressing your comments as much as I was all of them that I had heard, sir, through the chair. And I did hear, you know, pull tabs and bingo. So I want to be clear to the committee that we're not talking pull tabs and bingo. We're talking about the Nana Eyes Classic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm sorry,
sir.
Okay, he's responding. Go ahead, Representative Crawford.
What I was going to say was that you characterized it as being a negative effect. Now, if it reduces the amount of advertising going on, that's a subjective conclusion as to whether that's a negative effect. I don't believe that's a negative effect. I think that if we get less advertising and less money into gambling, then that's a good thing. So that's your own characterization.
And that's fair, Representative Crawford, and that's documented for the record. And your response, I presume, is charities go away, no time on the air for this to occur, hence the bill.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I also think that we would have charities lined up looking for funding sources at the Finance Committee on a very regular basis.
In response, I wanted to try to articulate. I might not have done so perfectly for Representative Crawford. I understand his fear. I would maintain the objection if it wasn't maintained by Representative Roquebrook, because I think that there's merit in what you're doing in terms of broadcasting, and it helps the broadcasters, it helps the nonprofits, and it's for charity. And I think Representative Crawford's put on a good sideboard with his conceptual amendment number two, as did Representative Lynn with one. So with the objection maintained, any last comments before we get to the vote, Representative Roquebrook?
Well, yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I take note. I'm not sure we closed the public hearing on this bill. I'm not sure we have.
I'm happy to. I saw no testifying and questions.
We do have some, I noticed some representatives from the industry here, if anybody wanted to comment. I don't know if they did.
Recognize that we have an amendment before us. It's been objected to, and we're going to vote on that. If you want to come up and testify, you're welcome to, or we can close public testimony, have the amendment pass or not pass, and then move the bill out. So that's the status. Is there someone that feels like they want to testify?
I wouldn't take too much
time. Yeah, I would say maybe one person. Okay, how about we take an at ease here for real quick? There's an at ease. Convene, Representative Cox, in mid sentence.
In the state. We have games of chance, as what is indicated.
So, Representative Cox articulating games of chance is the current statutory title. The secretary has got a bloody nose and both nostrils down the tape. She looks like Ray Charles.
Gaming.
Games of chance.
Okay, is your objection maintained on
yes.
Amendment 3? Okay, if we could have a roll call vote, you can just call an order.
Representative Ledoux?
No.
Representative Cott?
No.
Representative Guttenberg?
Yes.
Representative Crawford?
Yes.
Representative Roquebrook?
No.
Representative Lynn?
No, yes.
Was a
mess. No. So it fails 4-3. Any other amendments? Hearing, seeing none, public testimony closed. Can I have a motion to move the bill out of committee? Representative Guttenberg, do you have a question? No problem.
I'd like to speak on the bill.
Sure. So you object to the moving?
I object to the moving.
For comment. Please comment.
I'm concerned whether you call it gaming or games of chance or whatever the definition is. The issue that I think the broadcasters are faced with is legitimate, but I don't think this is the proper direction to go. I think the direction to go is the other way. I think the direction to go is to limit or restrict the ability of newspapers to do the advertising. Because I think in the end what you have is an enhancing of gaming in the state, and that's what I'm concerned about. Certainly don't want to put a burden on the industry. I don't think that's that's where I want to go. I know there are restrictions, and I'm surprised that the FCC simply leaves this to the state. That surprises me a great deal, because it seems like that's a national issue, whether it's gaming or not, because the Postal Service has restrictions, and we haven't gotten into that side of it. But I think I'm not in support of gaming, and I'm not in support of expanding its role and its space in the community. And I think that's what this does. There might not be more games, and I have a question that didn't get answered, so I'll just ask it rhetorically. What happens to the overhead on a game against charge back to the permit holder? If all of a sudden they're doing television advertising, the percentage that goes back now to the permit holders, to the nonprofit, to the charities, is, from my perspective, and I've been involved in gaming in the past, has been shrinking. It's been getting smaller. All of a sudden now you put television advertising on the table. What happens to the percent? Who takes that money off of what? You know, if you've got an operator, and I don't know if I've got my definitions right, but if you've got an operator organizing a something that's being advertised on television, that's expensive. Where does that overhead come off of? Does that come out of his operating costs? But his operating costs come out of the take that the nonprofits get. So I don't know what that is, and I'm concerned about that. But I don't want to see the face of gambling looming larger in the state of Alaska, because I think that's beginning of a slippery slope.
I do want to see the face of Josh Fink. Welcome. He hates that idea. Oh, he responded on record. Okay, any other questions? Representative Ledoux, Representative Roper?
No, Mr. Chairman, I just want to point out with the adoption of Amendment Number 1 by Representative Lynn that the advertising of animal classics, including the rat race and the Alaska State Fair, would be prohibited. And
we do not want to, if I may.
No, I mean, I would just, for the record, I would say that in my opinion, the advertising for the Alaska State Fair rat race would be prohibited. So in the future, if the sponsor wants to take that up as an amendment to the amendment, they might want to give that some consideration.
Mr. Chair, we specifically went to, that was not the intent, we specifically went to the legal drafting and told them what we wanted to do, and this is what they came back with. If necessary, I could ask for reconsideration of the amendment, I suppose.
At this stage, another committee referral, but yeah, I'm looking.
I would say not at this juncture.
Because you understand where I want to go with this.
Yep, I do.
Right, but don't worry, but I just want to put it on the record.
Any other comments for the record?
Well, I just like to...
Representative Lynn?
Well, we get into this definitions of games of chance and gambling, you know, and it kind of makes me tired because, you know, it...
It's called contest of skill.
It's contest of skill. And I guess the comment is dress a pig in a tuxedo, it's still a pig. but I understand it. Thank you.
Is that like the perfume?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that the state is under assault as being one of the last places in the country where legalized for-profit gambling hasn't been allowed yet. There are people that, because there's so much money in gambling, that they're putting more effort into charitable gaming to expand that. And one of the ways to do that is to advertise to get more people aware of what's going on, to suck more people and more dollars into the business. When the element that Representative Guttenberg just brought up, that this may in fact reduce the amount of money that the charity would receive is I think a very legitimate one. And if we were to limit this advertising, if it's going to pass anyway, if we were to limit the advertising to only the charity, you know, the Girl Scouts or the Lions Club or whoever it was, rather than the operators, then maybe we could stop that from happening. So I think that that would be a conceptual amendment that I would use as a fallback position.
I would just comment that gambling does exist, and it, obviously pull tab vendors, and I know many of them, all respectable. The ones that I know are making money from that. I mean, they're not giving their income from charity. There's online gambling, party poker, and others. There's advertising constantly now, and that's pure, real gambling that you can do in Alaska. And so I would just say that, just a caveat, that I understand you're opposed to gambling, and you say, I don't want to see gambling come here, but I mean, we do have gambling, I figure. It's not an answer, but it's just a response, that we do have gambling in Alaska now. As to this issue and the intent of the bill, I recognize that the broadcasters are trying to open a venue to enable more charities to advertise, in this case, as stated, for raffles and for lotteries. I think there's good intent and there's merit in it. I think we've had a pretty healthy debate. I don't think it's about expanded gambling. Every broadcaster I've talked to said, no, it has nothing to do. Some agree, some hate gambling, others don't. They're just looking at their business and trying to help create a channel, no pun intended, through which this can be made. So with that being said, I think we should probably have a vote on the bill. Is objection still made, Representative?
Yeah, and I just want to make one comment.
Okay.
You know, the broadcasters have a legitimate concern here about the nature of their industry and burdens and pressures that they're put into. But there's also a cascading effect that's outside of them. And there are good operators in the state, and it is a legitimate business, and the state sanctions it and regulates it. Sometimes I'm not sure we do a good job on enforcing it. But every operator makes his living off of gambling, whether you call it gaming or skill. I mean, it's all chance, whether it's bingo or pull tabs and that's how they make the money. You know, whether we like it or not, that's the industry and that's the way it is. So I'm just responding to your comment that it used to be the nonprofits ran the game, and it's evolved, and they got all the money back to, most of the money back to them. Now it's evolved where there's operators and different levels. I've always been concerned that the nonprofit gets involved in gaming because they've got a hole in their budget and they can't deliver the services to the public, to the needy public that needs it, whether it's Alliance, the Girl Scouts, or hospice. That amount of money is diminishing, seems to be diminishing all the time. And some of the more unscrupulous operators have been involved in that. And what happens when you start buying expensive advertising? We all know what it costs to do television because we're all involved in that every 2 years. I think that's a legitimate question that we need to scope out some more. We need to get some answers for. I feel that the broadcasters are stuck in the middle of something, which is. It's the state's fault in the end. That's what it is. So
Mr. Johnson, if you could analyze that in the next committee to determine when there's a raffle or a lottery and there's a budget for that charity, and then they must split the distribution to their expenses and then to the charity and then to the winner, will this bill exacerbate the problem that Representative Guttenberg's targeting, which is, okay, now we have, just so you know, charity and recipient, you're both going to get much less because our budget now has trebled at least three times as much because we're paying broadcasters for the commercials.
Mr. Chairman,
I don't think that would happen.
Finance Committee will be looking at
that.
Assess that very, very closely.
That would be great. Representative Roachberg?
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 447.
Representative Codd has a comment.
I think,
please.
No, I have a motion. I have the floor.
You got the floor. It's still under debate. I think Representative Crawford's concerns are valid. And I just go back to TV commercials. Tide, if you're advertising for Tide, they factor into their budget X amount of dollars for advertising. Now, they recognize that based on advertising, at the end of the day, they're going to increase the amount of revenue they're going to take in. I think that's what's going to happen. You're going to find more people participating. Not the same group participating at a different level, but attracting more. So I think the net result will be a benefit to the charitable organizations. But that was really only one way to get at Representative Crawford's problem here with this bill, and that is to eliminate the print media. So right now there's not a playing field. broadcasters on an unequal playing field, and it's probably an equal protection clause problem. So rather than to eliminate, we've added them to the mix, level off. I think that's the best of all worlds at this point. So, Representative Roper, now yield back to you.
Representative Cott, you don't own stock in Tide, do you? Representative Roper has a motion to move the bill. Are there any objections?
No, I didn't make it. I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move. So no, I didn't quickly. I'll make the motion. I'll move House Bill 447 with individual recommendations and zero fiscal note.
Thank you. Is there any objection?
Yes.
Okay, objection, Representative Crawford. You could
pass your amendment.
Read the rule.
Representative Lynn?
Yes.
Representative Ledoux?
Yes.
Representative Cott?
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg?
No.
Representative Crawford?
No.
Representative Roper?
Yes.
Yes, bill passes out of committee 5-2. Are there any other bills?
Thank you, sir.
Nothing more before us. Thank you, members of the committee, for waiting to start late. We will adjourn at 5:20 p.m. That's the